Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. We serve a mighty God, a loving God. He thinks of everything. That's something that we need to get used to. Thinking of all situations, how everything affects everything. When we pray to the Lord, many times people say that the Lord works in mysterious ways. He just thinks of everything. And he don't make mistakes. And the reason he don't make mistakes is because he understands everything. And he loves us. If we pay more attention to him, if we give God our attention, a lot of our problems will be solved. Now, yesterday's broadcast, we talked about single-eye vision. The ability to, even though you have a problem, you still look at the Lord. And then you solve your problems better and even faster. Because God deals with the root cause. Sometimes when people get relief, they still didn't deal with the root cause and it comes back. And in this broadcast, I want to share about the holiness of God. God is pure. And the pure things in life are foundational. And when you're holy before God, and I'm not talking to, sometimes people confuse holiness with a religion. You know, there's a branch of the Christian church called the Holiness Church or Pentecostal Church. And, you know, at the turn of the century, that thing was be perfect, be pure. And they made a big deal out of what they did and didn't do. And those things, that the good things that they did do, and some of the things, works that they didn't do, it stole the focus off the foundation of Christ. And the work, and even the Holy Spirit. When people were trying to do right, hear me good, I don't mean any harm to anybody, but the enemy tries to distort things. People that love God, they want to do right, and the enemy comes to tempt them, and they struggle. And many times Christians will get saved, but the lingering habit system of the world was still in their life. Well, in the Pentecostal church, they received the Holy Spirit and they had power to do better. And to make a distinguishing fact, they love God. They truly love God and they wanted to do right. And by the Holy Spirit, they were able to. So they made a big deal out of living holy. And Jesus said, if you don't build with me, you scatter. And I know they didn't mean any harm, but they did harm, because for instance, they made a big deal about the way women dress. Now, some of this was culture. It wasn't, you know, somebody found a scripture, Deuteronomy 22:5, women shouldn't wear pants. And they made that's neither here or there with God. Clothes is clothes. Whether it's pants, robes, dresses. In Scotland, men wore kilts, which looked like a dress. It's not wrong. It's not a sin. But people in their ways, they act like we're better because we do this, or we're better because we do that. It's good to have living standards. The real sins is the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. So the enemy tried to mix in pride and strife. And when people say the word holiness, a lot of times they go back to the holiness ways, the holiness church ways. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the purity of God. And I asked the Lord, holiness is a good word. But the enemy is at war with us, and he'll do anything and use anything that he can manipulate to his favor. And I asked the Lord, what is your definition of holiness? And he said, supreme purity, sincerity. Supreme purity is sincere love that does what's true. That's how we defeat the law. That's how we fulfill the law. The law is still important. The Ten Commandments, they're still, that's the moral law. We need to regard it now, all of it. But, and we need to hear what the Lord is saying. But when you have a heart full of love, you automatically fulfill the law. Because you love your brother, you're not going to cheat on him. You're not going to hurt him. You're not going to steal from him. You're not going to try to make him feel bad about himself to boost your pride. All the prideful things in life, you drive it out of your life. Just like Israel was supposed to drive out the Canaanites. All the evil things that cause poor conduct, you drive it out of your life. It's not supposed to be there. If it's not from the kingdom of God, it don't fit in your life. And if you notice, when you pay attention to the Lord, when you give him your attention, all the evil things, he has nothing to do with it. That's as far away from God as the east is from the west. He hates sin and what it does. And then people think, well, I've done wrong, God hates me. No, he loves you. You're not sin. And you're not supposed to be sin. You're supposed to drive it out of your life, and it won't be in your life. The blood of Jesus washed away your sins. And now you have to drive out the lingering habit system and the things that's not right. We work out our own salvation. We speak the word in our life. We speak life. Well, in our life. We speak, whenever you're doing something important, bless it. Confess God's success over it. Whenever God give me an assignment, I bless it. And I protect it from Satan by saying, Satan, you can't hinder this plan of God. You can't speak discouraging words to me. And then I avoid people that are known to be negative. So many people are negative. And they think they're so right. And I love them so much. And they're good people. But they're just negative. And when people prove to be negative, I don't tell them things that's important. Things they'll try to talk me out of. When I'm definitely going to do things God's way. And people think in a traditional mold sometimes. They mean no harm. They mean no ill. They're trying to help. But that's the way they think. That's the way they govern themselves. And it's all right to them. So that's what they share. That's what they publish. That's what they speak. That's what they utter. It comes out of their heart and their mind. But every man of God has his own rules. Every assignment has its own specific rules that the Lord shares with that person. And it's holy. Everything of God is holy and necessary. And I'll give you, for instance, in my ministry, I dedicated myself to obey and love God, do whatever he say do. It didn't matter to me what it was. So he had me in my assignment. I had to go to different churches. And you can imagine how I looked to so many church people. They thought I was church hopping, but I was obeying God. I would go to a church for a season. And then the Lord would send me somewhere else. And I would go for a season. They wanted me to join. And I would explain to the pastor, I can't join because I may have to go somewhere else. Sometimes I was just visiting. They didn't bother me about it. And then people, you know, they tried to talk me out of it. And I got tired of explaining. I just stopped explaining. I said, well, that's what God gave me to do. That's what I do. But so much wisdom came out of it. I saw so many needs of God's people. Following God, you learn more. Following God, it never fits the traditional mode. Sometimes it just seems to. Really don't. It don't fit the traditional mode that people like to box God in. You have to follow him. He knows what he's doing and he's good at it. As long as you're not hurting anybody, doing somebody wrong, you're doing what God said do. And I had a guy, he was a partner with me in ministry. The Lord sent him and we worked together. And every Sunday, we'd pray about where to go. And then the Lord would give me, one time he gave me a song that come on the radio at this certain ministry. And he put it in Kevin's heart and he gave me, I started singing the tune from the radio broadcast. And he just smiled because God gave him the same thing in his heart. We gave a word to a pastor. Now we wrote the word at home. I wrote mine and he wrote what he had to give the pastor at home. And we went to the church and we both gave the pastor the word and they were identical. I didn't read what he wrote and he didn't read what I wrote. And the word God did, God is moving, folks. If you try to box him in, you're just going to miss out on some things. Some things require your full faith. Holiness. What God gives you, he gives you out of love. It's in timing. And most people will try to talk you out of doing what God said do because they're so steeped in tradition. And they're negative. And sometimes they can be positive people. They just don't know the revelation God gave you. Now, I deal with this a lot on these broadcasts because so many people get talked out of the greater moves of God. And if and what God tells them to do don't fit what they used to, they just quit. Because people don't like confrontation. But if you're going to follow God, you might as well get used to it. Because the enemy has so much place in the thoughts and lives of everyday people. And you'll never get anywhere listening to everybody's advice. But the Holy Spirit causes people to say what you need. The anointing works beyond the mind of man. And anointed people, what they say under the anointing, that's what you regard. The Lord taught me that. Their mind don't always know in their mind. But after they've spoken under the anointing, don't hang around and ask them what they think about it, because it's going to be totally different. And some people get confused over that. The same person that gave you the perfect instruction and comfort and assurance under the anointing will turn around and tell you not to do it out of their mind, or tell you to do it differently other than what God has given you. This is why we have to give God our full attention. When I say that the Holy Spirit, my favorite scripture, he came to guide us into all truth. That's my favorite scripture because we get to share Jesus better if we're guided into all truth. When somebody's talking to you, you're not going to remember what they say unless you give them your attention. If you ask an instructor to teach you something, you can't learn unless you give that professor or that teacher or friend your attention. You got to give them your attention. Same thing with the Lord. When he speaks, everything he say is highly important. It's perfectly worded. And if you give God your attention, you can learn something. Now, when you're in a struggle, things are uncomfortable. If you're about to have to make a business decision, or you're trying to figure out the next step on your to solve a problem on your job, and everybody's looking to you, or you're trying to save what's left of your marriage. Those things require a lot of energy, and it's easy to focus on those things. But to hear from the Lord, sometimes you have to be at peace and listen to the Lord. Follow the peace. The Lord loves you. He wants to tell you what to do, but it won't do any good if your attention's on the problem. You make the problem look too big. And then God will start looking small, and his voice will get softer and softer till you're back to trying to figure it out for yourself. Now, I run into the same everyday life problems that anybody else do. I had an engine one time I had to fix. I talked about it on some of the broadcasts. And a boat broke down deep in a well. And it was a good engine. If I didn't get this boat out, the guy was going to have to buy an engine, and it was going to tie up my garage for another month. And I was motivated to find a way to get this boat out. I'd already began to drill it, and the drill went off center because it was so far down. I got tools to center the boat, but being so down, so far deep in the hole, the drill went crooked. And I said, I studied that thing. I said, I got to get this done. And I knew that if I kept messing with it, if I kept trying to fix it my way, I was gonna ruin the block, and it wasn't gonna be any good. And then I was gonna have to have the guy get a motor. And so I stopped. I said, it's better for me to just stop and get rested up and seek the Lord about this. And I said, Lord, I need your help. I said, help me get this boat out. And so there's a way to do it. I want to just help me do it. And the very next morning, he gave me a dream as I was waking up. Right before I woke up, I just saw what to do. And I took a carbide bit, made a tool to reach down deep in the hole, and then shielded it. And I grinded that boat out. And then when I grinded it out, it centered it. And I used a drill bit and cleaned it up, got it out. I vacuumed it out, vacuumed all the debris out. And I put in a time cert, a helicoil. And when I went back up with it, it held. And everything worked out. And those boats torque over 90 pounds. And I said, I hope these helicoils hold. And they held. And I was happy. And the car ran good. If you're frustrated, go calm down. If you have to, go out to eat. Play some music. Do something fun. Go to a movie. Get your mind off the problem. And when you come back at peace and pray and sing praises to the Lord and ask him your questions. You have to calm down. If you do what it takes to give God your attention. Because the bigger the mess, the more you're going to need him. The bigger the mess, the more you need him. The more necessary it is to not be distracted by the problem. And that's what I was saying yesterday about single eye vision. Giving God your full attention. Trusting his holiness. God loves you. Because he loves you, he will not do you wrong. He is holy because of his love. He loves you so much, and he's pure in all of his thoughts and ways and actions. And he wants to give you his very best. And he wants you to know him. and understand. And when you yield to him, you can learn his wisdom. And you can understand things like he does. You have a mind that works. God gave you a sound mind. And all the things that cause you bitterness, strife, and worry, drive it out. Sing praise songs and defeat those things. Worship songs breaks yokes. That doesn't make sense to people. All right. We don't use ox, but they used to take two ox and yoke them together with beams of wood. Now, you've probably seen some of those things in old books, story, you know, children's books or whatever. Yokes are bonds. The ox are bound by the yokes. They're yoked together. To pull a load. They tie them together and they pull that load. And they're very strong. Now, what you have to do is be free from the things that trouble you. In Isaiah, it talked about putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Get rid of the heaviness. You're not as likely to follow through with what God, the wisdom God give you, if you have a heavy heart. And you're going to have to learn not to let whatever's on the outside trouble you. I learned these things as I paid attention to the Lord. Those things fell off my life. And I want it to fall off yours, and I know it can. Do it God's way. The songs you learn in the choir, they are weapons of war, if you'll let them be. Some songs, when you're singing the word of God, they are weapons against the enemy and the ways and rudiments of this world. And they help you, they assist you to be pure in your heart and thinking. And every time you learn something from the Lord, keep it in your heart. Just like putting money in the bank. Keep those things deep in your heart. When the angel told Mary about Jesus, everything the Lord told her about her son that would be born, she pondered it inside of her heart. She pondered it in her heart. And that's why she was able to do everything. And there was a raging enemy out there trying to distract her mind. He did Mary just like he do us. But she won because she pondered the things of God in her heart. Give God your attention. Ponder the things he say to you in your heart. And you're going to have good success. You're going to see the things of God, and it's going to be good. If you can trust the holiness of God, the love of God, the wisdom of God, the mind of God, and the heart of God, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. These are the ways of Christ. And when we follow him, we become his type in love and character and will. And the Lord can easily show you how to solve your problems. And as you trust him, my friend, you will. And it's not only about solving problems, it's about thriving in life. He'll show you how not to just survive. The church has to get away from surviving into thriving. And then you're anchored in the kingdom. You love God. You love him more. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. And when you follow him, as you get stronger and stronger, the door is open for him to show you, my friend, how to deal with things that's coming on the horizon. And the bad things, like the Russian attacks, this country will be attacked. There will be a World War III, I'm sorry. But you can understand what to do when the worst happens. Daniel said, they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. We have to learn to be strong in order to do the exploits, the greater works. Remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.